You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Guess what I'm doing tomorrow for Valentine's Day?
Going out to dinner with yourself?
Well, that. And I'm parking my butt in front of the television because the SNL 50 concert is tomorrow. And guess who's going to be performing live? My beloved B-52s.
What?
Yes. Along with a slew of other incredibly iconic performers.
Is there any artist that I'm going to want to watch?
There are no hair metal artists.
Well, I know that. I like more than hair metal. One of my songs in the game was Prince. You got the look. He's my second favorite.
Well, Prince has passed. Jelly Roll, he's going to be on there.
I like Jelly Roll, but he's like a... he only sings about one thing, it seems to me.
Okay.
And that's his recovery / addiction. And I can relate, obviously. But it's just like the same song over and over again. And don't get me wrong. I love Jelly Roll. He opened up for Shinedown like 2.5 years ago or whatever. I was blown away.
All right, let's just name off some of the people. Arcade Fire, Backstreet Boys, Bad Bunny, Bonnie Raitt, Brandi Carlile. The list goes on and on.
Keep going because I haven't heard anybody that I'm going to tune in for.
Mumford & Sons, Post Malone.
But I would do prefer Post Malone.
The Roots, Jack White, Eddie Vedder, Devo, David Byrne, of course, the B-52s, Robin.
Are these artists?
Lady Gaga.
Do they have any kind of history with...
Maybe they've all been on it.
Yeah, they've all been on it.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the B-52s go back years and years and years. It was an iconic performance.
Will you text me when Lady Gaga comes on and when Post Malone comes on?
I probably won't, but I'll try. I wonder if Lady Gaga's going to sing her new hit song, Abracadabra. Very excited.
Which Sam said sucks.
Abracadabra.
I'm very excited.
Somebody says it's on Saturday night, Michael.
Going to reach out and grab you.
No, it's tomorrow night. It's Valentine's Day. I think the SNL special is on Friday night.
Okay.
Do you want to know how I know it's tomorrow night? Because I showed you the text message earlier.
He got a text message from Fred Schneider.
I did. I texted Fred and I said, I hope rehearsals are going well.
In the B-52s.
And he said, thank you, because Fred and I are BFFs.
You guys are totally BFFs.
We are totes BFFs.
Yeah, the SNL 50 homecoming concert. Streams live tomorrow at 7.
I signed up for Peacock just
is that the only
event.
Is that the only streaming service that's carrying it?
Yep.
It's not on NBC over the air?
I think at some point it will be back on the air, or I think it'll be rebroadcast on NBC, but tomorrow night it's live on Peacock.
You know, Sam, I think you were the one that said it a couple of weeks ago. When streaming first started, you know, like YouTube TV, hey, it's only, you know, $39 a month or something, and Netflix is only $7 a month.
$7.99. Yeah. Netflix was cheap.
We were all cutting the cord, man. I am saving tons of money.
Oh, yeah.
And then everybody else started streaming, and they got shows that you've got to have. And now if you add it all up, you're paying more than you were when you had cable.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If you have all of the services, yeah.
We fell for it. We felt they dangled that shiny little object in front of us.
Well, I'm gonna cut the cord.
Just go in with some other people. They get some streaming services, get on their account. You get some, they get on your account.
You can't do that with Netflix.
No, but you can with a lot of other ones. Not that I would know. I know, because I share a lot of services?
Well, prior to last year, I didn't pay for a single streaming service. I just mooched off of everybody I knew.
Now?
I have all my own.
Except one.
Except one. I'm still boycotting until Stranger Things comes out.
He will not sign up with Netflix because they do not allow you to share. It's not because he doesn't want to watch things on Netflix.
That is correct.
He is doing it out of protest.
I am protesting until Stranger Things comes out.
Dan, did you see the footage of that fighter jet crashing into San Diego Bay?
Yeah, that was quite the thing.
Oof.
The growler.
Hey, what about the guy that was swallowed up by the humpback whale? Did you guys see that video?
Yeah.
Was that AI or something?
No, it was legit.
This guy is real.
This guy is kayaking, and there's humpback whales like off in the distance, and all of a sudden one just comes up and goes,
and then Wanda taste it.
Spits him back out. And he sort
was
of.
Was his name Jonah?
No, maybe. I don't know.
It would be funny.
If his name was Jonah,
yeah,
that would be classic.
That would be pretty good.
Can you imagine you're just out there kayaking, minding your own business, and suddenly you're fish food? That's a bad day. But he's fine. He got spit back out because, I don't know, maybe they didn't like the taste of the kayak. Who knows?
Or maybe he didn't like the taste of human being.
I don't believe they have the internal systems to be able to swallow a human.
Well, tell that to Jonah.
We are not getting into a Bible study. It's just not happening.
Well, I mean, what kind of whale was it?
Humpback.
I don't remember.
Hmm.
Oh. How big was it?
How big was it?
Dan, don't do this. Don't.
Okay. What are we doing? Wait, what are we doing? I don't want to miss
it. He's trying to get us into a Bible study about Jonah and the whale.
Was he a prophet?
Well, I'm just curious. What kind of whale was it supposed to have been?
That's
in the story.
Well, you know what, Dan? Let me take a gander.
It was a big, pretty whale.
It was, oh, he disobeyed God. Actually, it's listed as a large fish, not a whale.
Oh.
Big fish.
Yeah. Because I think the humpback whale is, are they vegetarian?
Oh, my God.
That's why the human was spit out?
Well, no, don't they eat little fish like plankton?
Well, that's true. They do.
Yeah, only listed as a great fish in all of the different translations.
Mm-hmm.
Great fish.
Yeah.
You're going to have a...
But the humpbacks use their baleen. It's like that you know, filter.
It's like a straw.
Yeah.
Filter. I like to use my fists when people hijack the show over there.
Why are you looking at me?
Because you're prodding him on, Sam.
Yeah. The humpback whales, the main food item, are krill, as we knew.
Oh, my God.
Other plankton, small schooling fish. So once that human on the kayak went into the mouth, they were like, ugh, what's this?
Aren't you getting the urge to go kayaking right about now, Dan?
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Story here from the Associated Press. It is a chicken and egg problem. Restaurants are struggling with record high U.S. egg prices, but their omelets, scrambles, and other items may be part of the problem. Breakfast is booming at U.S. eateries. First Watch, a restaurant chain that serves breakfast, brunch, and lunch, nearly quadrupled its locations over the past decade. Eggs Up Grill has 90 restaurants in 9 southern states, up from just 26 in 2018. And another Broken Egg Cafe, Florida-based, celebrated its 100th restaurant last year. Fast food chains are also adding more breakfast items. Starbucks, which launched Egg Bites in 2017, now has a breakfast menu with 12 separate items containing eggs. Wendy's reintroduced breakfast in 2020 and offers 10 items with eggs.
You remember that span of time. I don't know how long it lasted, and it might still exist in some areas of the world where it was kind of perceived as cool to skip breakfast. Oh, I don't need breakfast. I'm too good for breakfast. And now we're learning that, oh, actually our bodies need like protein to start the day, not sugary carbs and bad stuff.
McDonald's and some other companies have switched to 100% cage-free eggs, which limits the sources they will buy from. 10 states, including California and Colorado, have passed laws restricting egg sales to products from cage-free environments. Wholesale eggs, national average last week was $7.34 a dozen. And I was watching the news this morning. It is expected to go higher in the coming weeks.
That's insane. Also,
higher.
I read a report somewhere where it's forced inflation right now. Whereas a lot of the bird farms that were having to cull, a.k.a. kill, tens of thousands of birds have had more than enough time to replenish that stock. So they should be producing eggs at the same rate they were last year.
What's the...
Not when you kill millions and millions of chickens.
Hey, what's the restaurant that has tacked on like an extra 50 cents?
Waffle House. 50 cents an egg.
It's highway robbery.
Well, and Cracker Barrel is calling them out. There's like a breakfast war going on between Cracker Barrel and Waffle House. Cracker Barrel making fun of Waffle House and then offering to their Perks members, whatever that means, special breakfast menu deals if instead of going to Waffle House, you just keep coming back to Cracker Barrel.
From the text line, I'm the owner of a very popular cookie company here in the metro. You guys make delicious cookies. Thank you. We use a ton of eggs. This sucks.
Well, 6670, give us a call. I'd love to talk to you. And we will mention your company. I have no problem with that. It's Crumble.
Their cookies are so good.
Which is within walking distance.
Oh, my gosh.
Of the station.
Amazing.
In fact, I could probably walk there. And I wouldn't make it back by the
time. Do a live report?
Yeah. We could go there.
913-586.
Still got eggs.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. We were talking about the meteoric rise of breakfast restaurants. This is from the Associated Press Business Writers. First Watch has quadrupled their locations over the last decade. Eggs Up Grill now has 90 restaurants in 9 southern states, up from 26 just 7 years ago. There's a Florida-based cafe called Another Broken Egg Cafe. They've just opened their 100th restaurant last year, and But with the price of eggs, you heard the story last week. Waffle House is now charging, because of the price of eggs in the United States, a 50-cent surcharge for every egg on your plate. And we got a text from Trevor, who is the owner of Crumble Cookies here in Kansas City. Delicious, by the way, who wanted to weigh in. Trevor, hello.
Hi, Trevor.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the intro. That's awesome.
Yeah, welcome. Tell us, I mean, because you are a business owner. Obviously, there are eggs in cookies. How are you dealing with it? How much of your bottom line is this affecting?
Yeah, it hurts, because we don't want to increase prices, because eventually, hopefully, they'll go down. So we're not putting any kind of surcharge. Of course, we have to follow the franchisor's system as well. We can't just go rogue and do whatever we want. But we just have to eat the cost for now. And I have 3 locations. So, I would say a lot of franchisees own, 1 to 3 or 4. Our egg costs right now are, $12,000 a month. And that hurts when it triples in price, So, right now, through our supplier, a dozen eggs is $8.50. And when we're doing 1,200 to 1,300 eggs a month, that's really, for a small business owner, that definitely cuts into profits. I hope it gets better soon, but it sounds like it's going to be around for a while. And unfortunately, that's just a loss we have to take.
Which Crumble are you at, Trevor?
We're in Gladstone, Independence, and then in Springfield, Missouri.
All right. Well, I hope that you get lots and lots and lots and lots of sales for Valentine's Day tomorrow.
It's actually our busiest day, so we appreciate it. We have a great lineup for it. So.
Is it really? Valentine's Day is your busiest day?
Yep, and then followed by Mother's Day, or at least the Saturday before Mother's Day, since we're not open on Sunday. But, yeah, those are our 2 biggest days. And we actually slow down during the holidays, which surprises most people. But yeah, and, winter months are lean, so this egg increase does not help in the winter months, but
Trevor, why do you not have the Crumble that is literally within walking distance of our radio station? You are killing me, Smalls.
You know, it's the other ownership group. They're wonderful people. If I were right next to you, I would deliver weekly rounds for you guys.
Yeah.
I know Dana spoke at one of our events a while back where we helped sponsor an event, and we talked to her for a little bit. But yeah, we need to drop some by for you guys.
Trevor, I don't know if you know this, but I am filling in tomorrow. Hint.
Okay.
On Valentine's Day.
You have no shame.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, Trevor's on the line.
Trevor,
you know what? I might just have to make that happen for you.
Trevor, you said that your monthly egg cost right now is $12,000 a month. Is that right?
Which is up from what?
Yeah, from what is it normally?
Probably. So if we're at, it's almost, it's not quite tripled, but so yeah, it would be like $5,000 or $6,000 probably.
Wow!
Yikes.
Well, good luck, my friend, and thank you for the call. I can only imagine as a business owner, somebody who is in the food business, especially some like you or somebody who runs one of the local First Watches, this has just got to be brutal.
Yeah, it's not fun, so I hope we get through it. But we appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
All right, you take care, partner.
Thanks, Trevor.
Somebody says here, businesses always raise their prices, but they never lower it when the prices comes down. That's actually not true, and forgive me, Texter, for disagreeing with you. We have seen countless times. I mean, look at gas, for example. I can remember times during the Bush administration, I believe during the Obama administration, where it was, and I don't blame presidents and I don't give them credit for the price of gasoline, but because that's an international commodity traded on the world market. But there were times where gasoline was $5 a gallon, and it's now, I think, $2.89. Which is still high by most American standards. But, I mean, if you adjust for inflation, I bet gasoline is actually underperforming as far as inflation is concerned. Because in 1989, when I got my first car, I was filling up for a dollar. And it's now $2.89.
That's what I paid today, $2.89.
Well, that's one of the things about oil prices is if they go too high, people will find an alternative, carpool, ride a bike,
cut back on leisure travel.
Right. With eggs, I mean, there's not a lot of substitute. We had somebody on the text line who was like, hey, Sam, you can cut back on your eggs by starting to add a small steak to your breakfast every day.
Oh, I'll get right on that. Get right on that.
But thank you for the advice, Texter.
Let's go to Tom in Bonner Springs.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Just curious, we won't mention the store's name because I shop at it all the time, and it's not the big box. It's one of the two big ones otherwise. If I go to Leawood, I can buy all their eggs $5.99 all of last week, and with a sign up saying we're sorry. If I go into the Bonner area, the mediums are $8.49, the larges are $6.79, and the extra larges are $10, and an 18-pack just went up $3 to $13.99. The closer I get to a higher economic, because I decided last week I had time, I hit six of those stores. The closer I am to a wealthier neighborhood, the cheaper the eggs are. I've just never understood why you feel like when someone can't go far or doesn't have the ability to travel, perhaps, you're going to just stiff the tar out of them. Just a thought, guys.
Go ahead.
Organic eggs are actually no less than a dollar cheaper than all the other eggs, the brown organics. It's just something I've noticed. Every time I go to a store with one of those two brands, the further away they are from a wealthy neighborhood, the higher the egg prices are.
And you would think it would be the exact opposite because of the property values that the grocery store owner would have to pay. The wealthier the neighborhood, the higher the prices.
My theory is they know that those who don't have a lot of money, don't travel a lot, will race to the store, try to get the eggs. So you just raise that price phenomenally high on them and pull all that money out of their pockets because they're never going to go to another store. Huh. Wealthier people have all kinds of choices, so you keep the price where it keeps them happy, and you're still going to make a lot of money on it. I mean, $6 for a dozen eggs when we don't have, by count, an actual chicken shortage anymore. As Steve pointed out, it's absolutely true. Sam pointed out, I mean, I'm sorry, there are no chicken shortages. They've recovered it. They're just that they're holding the eggs.
All right, Tom, do appreciate the call.
Thanks, Tom.
Egg conspiracy. I did not have that on my Thursday bingo card, but I am here for it.
I'm telling you.
It's in the free space in the middle.
I didn't even throw that out there. That wasn't even me.
The text line is a bonkers of bananas right now.
About what?
About eggs.
Big egg.
Oh. Telephone number is 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Don't forget to check out the Dane and Parks podcast. It is available right after each hour ends. You can check out the previous hour immediately. Sam gets it up really quickly. Just go to kmbz.com. You know, I know Brian's not responsible for the weather, just predicting it, but that forecast sucks.
What sucks about it?
Well, let's start off with it's too cold. Saturday is when I have Saturday afternoon is when I have Valentine's Day plans with my Valentine.
Oh,
and if it's snowing, that's going to ruin it.
It's not like you can't get there.
It's not like you can't get there.
I don't know why you hate the winter so
much.
Oh,
my. Well, Sam.
And then when it gets too hot, you complain about the heat.
That is false. I challenge you to ever find a clip where
this comes up every single year, every single winter.
If you can find a clip where I complained about it being too hot.
Okay.
That is false. Because I lived for 3 years in a northern part of a continent that I'm not allowed to talk about.
Which one?
It's to the east, a long
way.
Would
that be Europe?
Might.
Across the pond.
I also lived in Anchorage, Alaska for 3 years.
That is also the northern part of a continent.
Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome.
Can we talk about how...
Because on the map in the studio, it's actually over Mexico. That's where I thought it was.
It's
down there.
Why are you guys bickering? You guys are like...
No, he is. I'm not. I'm happy.
Oh, okay. Well... Sam, it's apparently you. It's not us. It's you.
It's always me. I mean, whatever. I don't work enough.
Oh, my God. We're still going back to that. I am sorry I said it.
I'm not offended.
It was intended as a joke. It was a funny joke, I thought. Here. I thought it was a funny joke.
Michael Mackey, everything is fine. I love you.
Speaking of things that are cold, Igloo is recalling more than 1 million of its coolers sold across the United States, Mexico, and Canada.
Because it could take off your finger.
Due to a handle hazard that has resulted in, seriously, a handful of fingertip injuries. They use the word handful.
Yeah, bad choice.
You mean hand less? Of fingertip injuries, including some amputations. The now recalled Igloo 90-quart flip-and-toe rolling coolers have a toe handle that can pinch users' fingertips against the product, posing potential amputation and other crushing risks.
Crushing risks. Do you hear that, people?
Igloo has received 12 injury reports in the United States, which include fingertip amputations, bone fractures, and lacerations.
Okay, so I've never had a laceration or a near amputation from an Igloo cooler or any cooler of that kind. But any of them that have the free-flowing handles, like the Igloo cooler, that is a risk. It has been for decades. This is not new.
Yeah, but you're minding your own business. You got 10 fingers, and then suddenly...
You got nine.
Now you can only count to nine.
It's a bad day.
But it always reminds me of these recalls of the one, and we talked about it here on the program a couple of months ago. It was a fire pit, and they put out a recall for all of the fire pits. Why? Risk of burn.
Well, then put out a recall for every lighter ever sold in America.
What do you put in the fire pit? Fire. What does fire do? Burn.
They don't recall candles because they catch on fire.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I don't remember that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was a specific fire pit, but it looked really dumb when it said the solo fire pit recalled for...
Fire.
Fire.
I've got a little mobile fire pit in the garage, and I haven't used that in forever and a day.
They're fun. I like them.
I need to get that thing out and have the neighbors come over and
have a little driveway party.
Yep.
Ooh, watch the end of the world.
Could you have your next door neighbor bring over? What is her famous carrot cake? What is it that she brought me? Pecan pie? She brought me something.
She brought you a pecan pie.
Oh, please have her bring over some pecan pie.
She brought over quiche yesterday. It was good.
She is the best.
If you're among the 19% of Americans who report changes in their sense of taste as they get older, it may be cause for alarm. New research is suggesting that losing your sense of taste, especially for salty and sour foods, could be linked to early death in older patients, or in older adults, I beg your pardon. And the results were different for men and for women. The study was published today in JAMA, the Journal of Head and Neck Surgery. Of course, I think you subscribe, if I'm not mistaken.
Do I?
and looked at 7,300 adults over the age of 40. They found that those whose sense of taste declined since their younger years had a 47% higher risk of dying in the six-year follow-up period. Wow.
Mm-hmm. 40% is significant. Now, have they linked it to any sort of medical ailment, or is this just a, hey, this weird thing's been happening?
Neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, heart failure, stroke, and other chronic diseases. The study may have far-reaching implications, encouraging doctors to screen their patients for changes in their sense of taste to identify high-risk individuals.
Is there something that you hated as a small child that you suddenly really enjoy now?
Brussels sprouts.
Same. Hated Brussels sprouts.
I just fried some up the other day.
They're so good.
Man, they are good.
What about you, Sam? Did you, has your taste changed, like something you hated as a kid but now love?
You know, I've always been the weird kid that, I'm not a kid anymore, but I was the weird kid that would eat literally anything.
Really?
So no.
I'll tell you what, hash, corned beef hash?
Yeah.
I ate a lot of that growing up. And to this day, I'm like, no, that's the reverse version of this. Now I'm adverse to it, corned beef of any kind.
You know what I had for lunch today that I used to eat as a kid?
What?
SpaghettiOs with meatballs.
Okay, we need to have a chat about this. And I'm not judging because I also pack my lunch like I'm a third grader. But you eat SpaghettiOs for lunch pretty regularly.
Well, just recently. See,
okay.
I'm one of these guys. I don't think you're the same way necessarily, but I will get on a specific food kick. Like, I'm a creature of habit by definition.
And we all are.
But see, I'm not going to do this. The SpaghettiOs thing is just a trend. I'll do this for about, and by the way, it's not every day, but probably twice a week I'll bring it in for lunch.
Yeah.
It's only 370 calories. Now, granted, it's got a lot of sodium, I'm sure, but, you know. YOLO.
But you used to eat a lot of SpaghettiOs as a little kid?
Yeah.
All right.
I loved it.
I've just noticed it more and more recently. And
Chef Boyardee.
I picked fun at you the other day, and you got a little defensive
if I sound defensive, I'm feigning it.
Okay.
I'm not really upset. But, like, this is dumb. Right now, T is making this breaded chicken lately for dinner.
Ooh.
It's really good. But, you know, so that we don't, you know, gain any weight, we only use small plates at my house. Well, she's already skinny, so she doesn't have to worry about it. But I always eat dinner off of a small plate, right?
Okay.
And so that way I don't get too much breaded chicken or whatever. But she's doing this breaded chicken, and we're using, you know, you can now buy Chick-fil-A sauces at the grocery store.
Yeah, you can.
So we put the Polynesian sauce on it. It's good. It's good. Now, that's become like my favorite dinner dish. We've already had it twice this week. It's only Thursday. And then, like, every once in a while, I'll get into a corn dog kick, which I know is not good for you. I get it.
Corn dogs.
But that's just the way I am.
So, I'm not judging. I was just, it's a trend that I've noticed.
I think you are. But what you'll also notice is there's going to come a time, probably in about a month or less, where I stop bringing SpaghettiOs in for like a year.
As long as you don't bring cod in ever again, I am good with whatever you eat
lunch. Did you warm up fish?
2 months ago, yes.
And
it's still in my nose.
Good God, cod.
No, good cod.
Good cod.
I'm sure it was delicious. It smelled.
So it smelled. That day I beat Sam to work. And before he became the interim boss around here, and then started showing up at like 10:30, 11 o'clock every morning.
Good for you, Sam.
But I had beaten Sam to work that day, and I always bring my lunch to work, and I went to microwave the cod right down the hall in the little kitchenette that we have. I hear the blast door open. I didn't know it was Sam until I heard his voice, because you can't see anybody the second the blast door is open. I just hear the blast door open, and then I hear Sam's voice go, "Good God, Jesus!" And I'm like, "Hey, Sam, what's up?" He goes, "Who cooked the fish?"
It was pungent. Punched in the face. There was a wall behind that door.
There's a wall of cod.
Oh, yeah.
A cod wall. Listen to this from the text line from 0575. They've genetically changed how Brussels sprouts taste. That's why they're so good now.
I've heard that rumor, but you know.
You know.
Big Egg is also doing forced scarcity to keep the prices high. So what do we believe?
Right.
Wait, say that again. Big Egg is doing what?
That's what he, that's what the conspiracy know, but, the guy was talking about.
But I sort of kind of understood it when he said it, and then I know you floated it earlier off the air.
Big Egg.
And I kind of tuned it out. What's your newest, that big
farm? Now, it's not my farm. I do not believe in this conspiracy.
Okay, now this is Big Farm with an F, not a PH.
Correct.
You're big saying egg. Big Farm, Big Egg is doing what now?
It's forced scarcity.
So they're giving the chickens avian flu? So
no.
They have to kill them?
Well, maybe. That would be a stretch. I don't know what the conspiracy is. I was just brought into this conspiracy moments ago by our caller.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea being that they are intentionally keeping the egg supply low. Like maybe they've got truckloads of them sitting at the CAFO. Who knows? Intentionally keeping egg supply low.
The hell's a CAFO?
A centralized animal feeding operation.
What? Oh, okay. Never heard of that.
Yeah, I hadn't either.
And that is what is driving prices higher so they can make more money. That is the conspiracy. Forced scarcity. Same thing happened with the PS5 when it came out. They only made like 400 of them because they knew people would spend $800 if there weren't that many.
But can you imagine? This is the only reason that conspiracy theories don't normally work with me. Can you imagine the enormous public backlash at Big Farm with an F if it ever got leaked out that they intentionally financially punished the American people by storing eggs? I mean, first of all,
we know they do it with Big Farm with a PH, and
well,
we don't have a choice.
Well, but with Big Farm with an F, other farmers would just say, we've got plenty of product. Here it comes. You know, screw our competition. We'll sell you our eggs.
Let's see what egg prices are like at the farmer's market this spring. I'm curious.
Michael Mackey filling in for Dana Wright. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III.
Shalom.
He is our local conspiracy theorist.
That a boy, Sam.
My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Sam, your DJ skills have been
exceptional. This is a jam.
On point.
Maybe I'm howling for you.
Nap o'clock has been pinpointed. The best time of day to take a nap.
Nap Never. O'clock?
Never.
1:42 p.m. The survey of 2,000 Americans revealed just before 1:45 is the respondents' ideal time to take a snooze. And the perfect nap should last how many minutes, boys?
20.
3 hours.
51 minutes.
51? What?
Meaning if they fall straight to sleep, they would wake up at 2:33.
That makes no sense to me because that means that you are in the deepest sleep when you wake back up.
Oh, I love naps so much.
I cannot nap.
I am the napping king.
Well, I can nap. Excuse me. I can fall asleep anywhere, anytime.
Ooh, I cannot.
I'm incredibly good at falling asleep. But if you wake me up
before you
after 20 minutes, after 30 minutes, I'm going to be angry.
Somebody says, I don't even work at KMBZ, and I am still upset about Scott microwaving his leftover cod at the station.
That's right.
The humanity.
The humanity.
No humanity.
Huh. Okay. Okay, anyway, 1:42 in the afternoon, and the best nap time is 51 minutes. I only nap on Sundays, and it's when golf is on television, and I fall right to sleep. Enjoy my nap. 1 in 3 Americans is uncomfortable discussing finances in their relationship, according to new research. Another survey of 2,000 Americans in a relationship found that those uncomfortable speaking with their significant other about money, almost half, 44%, worry that discussing finances in their relationship will lead to a fight. Huh. Disagreements are more common for those, it says a cross-border relationship. What does that mean? Like a long-distance relationship or something?
I have no idea.
Cross-border? What the hell is a cross? Oh, no. Meaning the partner lives in another country. Okay.
Huh.
The research was done by Talker Research. I believe they're pretty reliable. Across all respondents, arguments are most likely to focus on what's considered a necessity, to spend on each month, 43%.
Well, that does tend to start fights, because how do you decide between the two of you what is a necessity?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I need my Starbucks every day.
36% say they would likely get into an argument regarding non-essential items like streaming subscriptions and vacations. And 34% say they argue about how much money should be saved every single month. A quarter of Americans feel their partner is less responsible with money than they are.
I go by one easy philosophy.
If she says it, it's right.
Spend as little as you can. Yeah, well, and that's
what also
What
is the
important.
One easy thing?
Spend as little as you can.
Oh. I thought it was going to be put it on a credit card.
I'm not wearing a single item of clothing that I bought myself. These are all Christmas and birthday gifts.
I had to buy new T-shirts because mine were getting too small, but I buy them
because your muscles
Walmart.
Are getting too big.
I mean, I wasn't going to say it.
You're looking good, buddy.
You look
Thanks.
Good, buddy.
Peter Gabriel is 75 today. Mike Krzyzewski is 78.
And Tina Louise from Gilligan's Island. She's 91 years young.
Don't have her on the list. Okay. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host today, Michael Mackey, my name is Scott Parks, and God willing, back tomorrow at 2 o'clock for Festivus Friday. Be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.